B'siyata Deshmaya, we're going to start Brachos Daf Yud Ches, and we're going to start four lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Zayin Omud Beis. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Omud Beis at the beginning of this perek, the halachas of somebody who's supposed to be taking care of the burial of somebody who passed away. The Mishnah started, Misha Meithai Mutar Lefonov, if somebody's got a dead person, a nifter, in front of him, then he's potter from Kriyas Shema and from other mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, Mutal Lefonov in. The halacha that this person is potter from Kriyas Shema and Tefillah and Tefillin and other mitzvahs is only when it's Lefonov, when it's in front of him, physically. V'she'ine Mutal Lefonov, but if the nifter is not in front of him, loy, then he's not potter. Uraminu, this seems to contradict the Braisa. Mi Shemeisoi Mutal Lefonov, if the nifter is in front of him, then Oichel Bebayis Achir. Then, if he wants to eat, he should go to another room, to another house. If he doesn't have another house, he should go to the house of his friend. If he does not have the option of going to a friend's house, he puts up a partition, a wall, and then he can eat. If he cannot even make such a partition, Machzir Ponov Oichel, he turns away, he shouldn't be facing the nifter, and then he can eat. Ve'enoi Mesiv Oichel, etc. So before we look into the details, the Braisa is now telling us a whole list of halachas, and these halachas apply both if the nifter is in front of him, and also even in the event that he's in another room, or in another house, or in his friend's house, these halachas still apply. And that's going to be the question in the Gemara. Ve'enoi meisiv v'oichel. It used to be that people, when they ate, they would lean on their sides, in the chashivas tegoifen. No. He should not lean on his left side on the bed when eating. Ve'ena oichel bosor, he should not eat meat. Ve'ena sheisa yain, nor drink wine. Ve'ena mevorich, he does not, Rashi says, he does not have to make birchas hamoitzi, a bracha rishona. And Tosu says, not only does he not have to make a bracha, he's not allowed to make the bracha. Ve'ena mezamin, and which Rashi learns, it means that he does not need to make Birchas Hamazon. Tosfos says not only does he not need to, he's not allowed to. Ve'in Mevorachin Olav, he does not need to go to find somebody else to make the brachas for him and be Moitzi him. Ve'in Mezamnin Olav, and he's not mitzdarf to make a zimun of three people. U'potur Mekriyas Shema, u'min atfilin, u'mikol ha-mitzvahis ha-amurahis ba-Torah. So you see that all these mitzvahs he's potter from, and it seems that he's potter from these mitzvahs even if he's in another house, in another room. And that seems to contradict what we saw in our Mishnah, that only if Meisoi Mutar Lefonov, if the nifter is in front of him, he's potter, but if the nifter is elsewhere, he's not potter. And the Gemara is soon going to answer that question, but in the meantime, we're continuing to learn the rest of the Braisa. And the Achrayim ask why Bichlal, the rest of the Braisa is brought here. It's not relevant to our sugya. But let's continue seeing what it says on the Braisa. U'b'Shabbos, in the event that it's Shabbos, Meisev, he's allowed to lean, v'yichol bosor, v'shoyse yayin, u'mevorich, u'mezamin, u'mevorchin olov, u'mezamnin olov, v'chayev b'chol ha-mitzvahis, amuris b'teira. All the pturim, all the things he didn't do at the beginning of the Braisa, because the Meisev is mutzal lefonov, on Shabbos, where he does not have any ability to prepare for the kvura, he's not Toro Tirda de Mitzvah, he's not Oisig Mitzvah on Shabbos, and therefore he's Mechuyev in all those things. Now it's true that he's not got the Ptur of Oisig Mitzvah Poto Mina Mitzvah, but however the Bach in Yeridah and Simon Shin Men Malef writes that the Issa of Loyeg Larosh still applies, and therefore when eating one should not eat in front of the Nifter, Lekatchila one should eat in another room. Continues the Braisa, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Miktoich shenischayev be'elu, nischayev be'kulam. In the same way as he's chayev in all these mitzvahs and in all these things we mentioned, he's also chayev in everything else. And it's very unclear what have you added on? We just said you're chayev in everything. Says that was what the Chachomim said. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says he's chayev be'kulam. What's he coming to be Moisif? V'omer Reb Yochanan, my binayu, what's he being Moisif? Tashmish Hamita, the mitzvah of Oino Sole Tigra, the mitzvah called Mitzvah Oino, according to the Tanakhama, such a person is potter, or maybe even osa, from being Mekayim Mitzvah Oino, and according to Shimon ben Gamliel, he's chayev, or allowed to be Mekayim Mitzvah Oino, Ika Beinayu, and that's the difference between the Tanakhama and Shimon ben Gamliel. Ktonimius, now the Gemara is coming back to the question on the Mishnah. Potur Mekriyas Shema Minat Filo Minat Filin Mikol Mitzvah Samuris Batera. And we said that that's even when he's in another room. And that seems to be contrary to our Mishnah that says only Mutal Lefonov. Omer Papa Tirgama Amarzir Ponov Voichel. Rav Papa says that all the halachas that it said here is not like we explained, and not like we thought, that it's even if he's in another room. It's only in the event that he's actually in front of the Nifta, because he couldn't go to another room, then he's potter from all these things. But indeed, if he went to another room, he would be chayev. Ravashi Omar, kivan shemutal olav lekoivroi, kemutal lefonov domi. Since it's incumbent on him to do all the preparations and everything it takes to take care of the burial, it's considered as if it's mutal lefonov. So when the Mishnah says misha meisay mutal lefonov, it doesn't mean physically mutal lefonov. It means that the responsibility is on him and in front of him to take care of all the needs of the nifta. Shenemar vayokom Avram me'al pnei meisay. It says in the pasuk that Avram was going to get up from in front of the Nifta, the Nifteres, sorry, Meinu, v'nemar, and it says, v'ekbar amesi millefonai, I'm going to bury the Nifteres from in front of me. And we know that at that point in time, when Avram was speaking to the Bnei Ches, sorry, Meinu was not physically in front of him. And nonetheless, it's called millefonai, because the responsibility of taking care of her burial was on him. Kolzman shemutal alav lekoivroi, kemutal lefonov domi. All the while that he's got the chiyuv, he's got the responsibility of taking care of the kvura, it's as if the niftar is in front of him. And on Shabbos, when a person does not have any chiyuv to make sure that to do the kvura, because you cannot do a kvura on Shabbos, this ptur doesn't apply. Continues the Gemara. And here the Gemara is making another diuk in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, it doesn't say Misha Meis Mutalefonov. It says Misha Meisoi, it's his Meis. What does that mean? Meisoi in, it's only if it's his Nifta, if it's one of his Krovim, one of his seven relatives that are close to him, then he's Potter. Avul Mashamroi, if he's a strange person, he's not a relative, but he's there in order to protect the Nifta. There's a mitzvah to protect the Nifta that Achbarim, that mice should not attack the corpse, the Nifta. So Samdu's Mashamroi, says the Gemara, Loi, he was not potter from all the mitzvahs. He's not an oisig b'mitzvah. V'otanya, did we not learn in a braisa, hamashamir es hameis, if somebody is doing the mitzvah of protecting the nifta from the mice, afal pisha'enei meisoi, even though he's not a relative of the nifta, potter mekriyas shema uminat fila uminat filin umikol mitzvahis hamuris batoira, that they're still potter from all the mitzvahs, because they're oisig b'mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Meshamroi afal pisha einoi meisoi. Meisoi afal pisha einoi meshamroi. That the Braisa that says that he's potter from the mitzvahs, and the Mishnah that says he's potter from the mitzvahs, it's not only meisoi, it's either meisoi or meshamroi. Both are oisik b'mitzvah of taking care of the nifta, of making sure it gets to burial in the right covered, and therefore they are potter from the other mitzvahs. Aval mahalich b'beis akvoros. But somebody who's just walking around, he's not protecting the nifta, and he's not taking care of the kvura of the nifta, he's walking around in a beis hakvoros, loy. He's not potter from the mitzvahs, he's mechuyev in all the mitzvahs shebetayra. Another Gemara is going to ask us a question, and it's very, very unclear on who and on what the Gemara is asking this question. Let's first read the words. V'hotanya, did we not learn in a braisa, lo yehalich odom bebeis hakvoris, a person should not walk in a beis hakvoris, utfilin bereishoi, whilst wearing tfilin on his head, v'sefer Torah bezroyoi, or holding a sefer Torah, v'koirei, and reading it, v'im oisekein, and if he does that, oivur mishum loyeg l'rosh chere foisehu, he's transgressed the pasuk in Issa that says, loyeg l'rosh, if you mock a pauper and a dead person who's totally he's not able, he doesn't have any way of protecting himself, of taking care of his own needs, is a classic example of somebody considered as a pauper, then cheref oiseyu, it's as if he's disgracing Hashem, the maker of this nifta. It's as if you're saying to the nifta, hey, you can't take care, you can't stick up for yourself anyway, so I can just mock you, as if Hashem can't stand up for the kavod of the nifta, and therefore it's as if you're mocking Hashem as well, chirif oiseyu. And this is a question the Gemara is asking, and it's not clear what the Gemara is who the Gemara is asking on. So in the Achrenim there's three different options and three different lines in the sugya we just learned now that this could be asking on, and the answer is the same. So the first option is that it's going back on the Mishnah. In the Mishnah it says that one can say Kriyas Shema in the Beis HaKvoros if there's time to finish, right? And the fifth line in the Mishnah, it says that if there's time to get to finish Shema before you get to the Shura, you can say Shema. They're still in the Beis HaKvoros. And then the question is, we just learned in the Braisa, you shouldn't do mitzvahs in the Beis HaKvoros. That's one nusach of the question. Another nusach in the question is that we saw six lines down from this Omud, that on Shabbos, you mechuyev in all the mitzvahs that we would have been potter during the week, on Shabbos he's chayev. And Pashtus, it's going on even if he's in front of the nifta. Even if the niftar is there in front of him, nonetheless, mezamin, mevorchin, and he's doing all the mitzvahs, v'chayev b'chol ha-mitzvahs. So over there we saw in the Braisa that you do all the mitzvahs even in front of the niftar, and over here we just saw now that you're not allowed to do mitzvahs in the Beis HaKvoros, because doing mitzvahs in front of the niftar is mocking him. It's as if you're saying, ha-ha, you can't do mitzvahs, we can. That's the second nusach of the question. A third option is that it's going on the last line we just learnt now that says that Aval Mahalich Bebeis HaKvoros Loi, that the Ptur of all these mitzvahs is only if a person is either Mesoi, if it's his relative, or Meshamroi, or if he's protecting him from the mice. But if you're just walking in a Beis HaKvoros, you're not Potter. And then the question is that we just saw in the Braisa that says that you're not allowed to do these mitzvahs in a Beis HaKvoros. Now the most assumed way of learning the question is the latter, the one we just saw now, that it's a direct continuation of the line before. Aval mahalich bebeis hakvoros loy, you're not potter. If you're mahalich bebeis hakvoros, v'otanya, we just learned that you mustn't do these mitzvahs in a Beis HaKvoros. The reason the Achrenim don't want to learn like that is because this Braisa does not actually suggest that he's potter from doing these mitzvahs. It just says, don't do it here in the Beis HaKvoros, do it outside, do it in an appropriate place. And therefore, they resorted to the other two explanations of the question. Either way, this is the question of the Gemara, and the answer is, Hosam toich arba amis. Hu de osur, chutz la arba amis, chayiv. That when it says that when you go into Beis HaKvoros and you're in the close proximity of a nifta, you shouldn't do the mitzvahs, it doesn't mean if the nifta is just there in front of you, and as long as the nifta is there, you're not allowed to do these mitzvahs. No, it's only within 4 amas. Within 4 amas, close to the nifta, you shouldn't do it because it's mocking the nifta. But even if the nifta is in front of you, but it's beyond, it's outside the 4 ama parameter from where you are, you're allowed to do these mitzvahs. So on Shabbos, or in the Beis HaKvoros that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that they could say Kriyas Shema, as long as you're not within 4 amas of the kever, it's okay. Do Omar Mar, Meis Toifus Arba Amis Le Kriyas Shema, that a nifta, within its 4 amas, it prevents a person, or it stops a person from being allowed to say Kriyas Shema. Hacha Chutz Le Dalad Amis Nami Potter, it means as follows, that in the case where you're outside Dalad Amis, you're beyond 4 amas from the nifta, so now there's no more issue of Loyeg L'Rosh. The whole discussion is only Oisik B'Mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. If it's during the week, and it's either Mesoi or Meshamroi, and possibly if it's Meshamroi, then it's even on Shabbos, because Shimur makes no difference between the week and Shabbos. But if it's Mesoi, and you're Mechuyev to do preparations for the Kvura during the week, then you're Oisik B'Mitzvah, in that case, you're Potter from all the mitzvahs, even outside Dalad Amos. But if you do not have Oisik B'Mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, then you're Mechuyev in all the mitzvahs in the Torah, providing it outside the Dalad Amos. So when it says in the Mishnah that you could say the Shema, even though you're in a Beis HaKfaros? Yeah, because you're not a Yisibu Mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. You've got time to finish Kriyas Shema before getting to the Shura. So you're not a Yisibu Mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. As long as you're outside the Dalet Amos, you can say Kriyas Shema. And so too on Shabbos. Since on Shabbos there's no Yisibu Mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah for the relative, and therefore he's Mechuyev in all these mitzvahs, as long as he's outside Dalet Amos. Continues the Gemara. Gufa. HaMashamir Es HaMeis. As we saw before, besides for being oisik b'mitzvah, if you're a relative of a nifta and you have a responsibility to take care of the burial, if you're protecting the nifta that mice shouldn't attack it, then you're also oisik b'mitzvah potin ha-mitzvah, and this would apply on Shabbos as well. Hoyu shnaim, if there's two of you that are protecting the nifta, zem mashamir v'zeh kira. It's enough for one to do the Shmira, he'll be Oisek B'mitzvah, while the other one does Kriyas Shema and any other mitzvah is Mechuyev to do. V'zeh Meshamir, v'zeh Kira, and then they change over, and then the second one does the Shmira, and the first one says Kriyas Shema. V'nazay Oimir, hoyu boim basfina. If they were on a ship, and there was a nifta on board, and there was one or two people protecting him, manichoi bezavizu, you can leave the nifter on one side of the boat, umispalelim shnehem bezavis acheres, even if there's two of them, they do not need to make turns, they can both daven at the same time on the other side of the boat. Mai benayu, what's the difference between the Tanakama and Ben Azai? They both agree that you're only potter when you're protecting the nifter from the mice. The difference is, are we choishesh that there's achborim, that there's mice even out at sea? Marasovar chayshinon. The Tanakamas say that out at sea there could still be a chashash of achborim. Or marasovar loy chayshinon. Benazai assumes that there's no chashash of achborim. There are no mice on the ship, and therefore they can both leave the nifta and go to the other side of the boat and to say Kriyas Shema and do all the mitzvahs. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, Hamoylech Atzomois Mimokim Lemokim. Somebody who's carrying the bones of a nifta from one place to the next, Hareze Lo Yitnoim Bediskia. He should not put them into a sack. Veyitnoim Elgabe Achamoyer and put them over a donkey's back. Veyirkav Aleim and ride on top of this sack. Mipnei Shenoyeg Bem Minig Bizoyin. It's disrespectful. It's a bizoyin for the nifta. If you're afraid either of Gentiles or bandits that are going to harass you and you have to get on this donkey and escape and get on your way, mutar, you're allowed to put the bones into the sack over the back of the donkey and get onto the sack, onto the donkey and ride away. The same applies to a Sefer Torah, that lekatchila one should not put it in a sack, it's a bizoyin, but if you have to get away, you're allowed to. Asks the Gemara, ahai, on which detail is the Sefer Torah the same? What's the Braisa referring to? Ilei ma'arisha, are you trying to say that it's referring to the first halacha, that lekatchila you should not put the bones in a sack, and so to a Sefer Torah, pshita, it's poshut migora Sefer Torah mi'atzomis, why should it be more allowed to cause a bizoyan to Sefer Torah than to the bones of a nifta? That would be poshut. Elo ha-sefer. The chiddush of the braisa is on the sefer, that with the bones, if there's an esa tzeirach, if you're afraid of the Gentiles or of the bandits, you're allowed to sit on top of this sack and put over the donkey. I may have thought that Sefer Torah that demands even more respect. It would be asa, says the braisa, no. Even in the case of Sefer Torah, if you have to get away, you're allowed to put the Sefer Torah in the sack and ride on it. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rachba, Omar of Yehuda. Kol horoye hameis, anyone who sees a nifta, ve'enei milaveihu, he does not escort the nifta on his way to the kvura, to the burial, over mishum loyeg l'rosh chirif oiseihu. He's transgressed the issa we saw before to mock a poor person, a nifta who's a poor person, he cannot look after himself, he cannot stand up for his own respect, and if you mock him, it's as if you're mocking Hashem. V'im hilvehu, if you do escort the nifta, ma'aschori, what reward will you get? Omer v'asi, olova kosov oimer, the pasuk says Malve Hashem Choinein Dol, and the end of the pasuk is Ugmuloi Yishalim Loi. Malve Hashem Choinein Dol. If you're gracious to a poor person, it's as if you are lending to Hashem. That's the literal translation of the pasuk. And there's another pasuk which others say, because it's another pasuk, instead of bringing this next pasuk, the Gemara meant to bring the end of the first pasuk, Ugmula Yishalim Loi. But in our print of the Gemara, it says Umechabdoi Umechabdoi Choinein Evyoin. Those who honor Hashem, they are gracious to the poor people. And it seems that the word Malve Hashem, lending to Hashem, Choinein Dal, is somebody who is gracious to a poor person. The word Malve is not only to lend, it's also the same letters as the word Malave, to escort. So somebody who escorts a nifter, it's as if he's escorting Hashem. It's like, it's as if it says Malave Hashem, you're escorting Hashem, Choinein Dal, by being gracious and escorting the nifter. Continues the Gemara. Reb Chiya, Reb Yonason, have a shokli v'ozli b'beis akvoros. Reb Chiya and Reb Yonason, they were going in the beis akvoros. Have a koshadio tchelsa de Reb Yonason. Reb Yonason's tzitzis were dragging along the floor in the beis akvoros. And tchelsa is the translation of the word tchelsa is the tcheles, it's the string, the blue string in the tzitzis. But the word tchelta is the term used for all the strings of the tzitzis. Omalei Reb Chiya said to him, Dalia, lift up the strings of your tzitzis, kdei shelo yoimru, so that the niftorim, the people who are buried here, shouldn't say, lemochor boim mitzleinu, tomorrow they're going to come to us, v'achshav, and today, mecharfin eisonu, they're mocking us, they're dragging their tzitzis over the graves to, like, pulling our eyes out and saying, haha, we can do tzitzis, you can't do any mitzvah of tzitzis, and they're mocking us today, tomorrow they're coming to us. The Pashtus that when they say tomorrow they're coming to us means that all anyone who's alive today, at some time, it doesn't have to be literally tomorrow, but sometime in the future, they're also going to be Niftorim. So why are you mocking the Niftorim today when you're also going to get there at some point? But there are those who explain that Lemochor Boim Etzleinu means that tomorrow they're going to come and daven here. When people learn Tzoros, they come to the Kvorim to daven. So today they're mocking us, and tomorrow they're going to come and daven at our graves. Omar Lei, Reb Yonason said to Reb Chiya, you're telling me to lift up my tzitzis because keeping them there is mocking them. Umiyode kulahai, do the niftarim bechlal know what's going on in this world? V'oksiv, does it not say in the pasuk, v'hameisim einam yoidim u'uma, dead people don't know anything. They have no consciousness whatsoever of what's going on in this world. Omar Lei, so Reb Chiya said to Reb Yonason, Im Karisa, if you ever read, if you learnt, Loi Shaniso, you didn't review what you learnt. Vim Shaniso, and if you did see it twice, Loi Shilashto, you didn't see it a third time. Vim Shalashto, and if you did see it a third time, Loi Pirshulacho, they didn't explain it to you. You're bringing me the pasuk that says, Amesim Einam Yoidim Uma, and assuming it means that dead people have no consciousness of what's going on in this world, that's not what the pasuk means. It means something completely different. So he's now going to explain this pasuk from the start. Ki hachayim yoidim sheyomusu. What's that referring to? Elu tzadikim. This is referring to tzadikim, and Rashi explains it very importantly. The tzadikim, they yoidim sheyomusu, noisnim elibom yoimamisa. They take to heart. They take seriously the fact that soon they're going to die as well. Umoyishchim yodeim mino aveira. And that stops them doing averus. Roshoim einam yoidim u'uma, but Roshoim who don't know anything, sha'oisim atzmom ke'enom yoidim, it's as if they don't know that they're going to die, v'choitim, and therefore they're still doing averus. So now the Gemara explains, ki achayim yoidim sheyomusu, elu tzadikim. These are tzadikim, and they are called chayim. Says the Gemara, she'bemisoson nikru chayim. Even after they die, they're also called Chaim, because when they were alive, they had in mind all the time that they're going to die, and therefore they stayed tzaddikim. People who stayed tzaddikim, even after they die, they're still connected to life, to the real life, to Ruchnius. Nikru Chaim Shenemar, and this is based on the pasuk. The pasuk says in Shmuel, Ubenayahu ben Yehoyada ben Ish Chai. It says Chai, we read it Chayil, but the Ksiv is ben Ish Chai. Rav Po'alim, who had many achievements, we'll soon see what the achievements of this Benayahu ben Yehoyada was, Mi Kavtziel, from a place called Kavtziel, who Hiko, he struck as Shnei Ariel Moyov, two strong commanders from Moyov, who Yorad, he went down, Vehiko Esari, and he smote the lion, Besoich HaBoir, in a pit, B'yoyim HaSholeg, on a snowy day. That's the literal translation of this pasuk. Says the Gemara, Ben Ishchai, why is he called Ben Ishchai? Otu kule alma b'nei meisininu? All other people are not alive, they're dead. That what's unique is he's the son of a Ben Ishchai, of somebody who's alive. Elo Ben Ishchai, what that means is she'afilu b'misosoi koru yichai. He's somebody who's always going to remain chai even after he dies, because he was a tzaddik. Rav Pa'alim Mikavtziel, somebody with many achievements from a place of Kavtziel. What does that mean? So the Gemara darshans, Sheribo, he increased the kibbutz and he collected Pa'alim achievements, but l'Torah, in his Torah learning, in his keeping Torah. V'hu hika es shnei Ariel Moyov, when the pasuk says that he hit the two commanders of Moyov, what is that referring to? It means that he put to shame even the people who survived and lived through the Bote Mikdosh, the Beis HaMikdosh HaRishon, and the second Beis HaMikdosh, and they're both called Ariel, and they're both called Ariel Moyov because Shlomo HaMelech built them, and he was a descendant of Rus that came from Moyov. So the Gemara says, Shelo hiniach k'moisei, there was nobody like him. Loi b'mikdosh rishon, v'loi b'mikdosh sheni. And that's what it means, v'hu hika es shnei Ariel Moyov, he put them all to shame. V'hu yorad v'hika es ari b'toich haboir, b'yoyim ha-sholeg. You know what that means? Ikad amra, some say it means, de tovar gziza de barada, that he broke, he smashed pieces of ice, v'nochas v'toval, and he went down and immersed himself in the icy, freezing cold water. He was Tomei, he was a Balkeri, he wanted to learn Torah, and therefore he went down to Toivel. And it's interesting because here we're talking about Pasuk and Shmuel very much earlier than Ezra, who typically was Mesach and Tfilas Ezra, and this is something which the Mefarshim speak about. It's worth noting this is the earliest source we find that Balkeri is Toivel in order to be able to learn Torah. Ikud Omra, the second Manda Omra, the second explanation in what does it mean that Yorad v'hikah es ari v'soich haboir. By the way, in the first explanation that he went down and broke the ice, went into the freezing cold water, hikah es ari, he is referring to the Yetzihara who's coming against him like a lion, and he broke his Yetzihara and went down into the water. The second, the Ikud Omra says, the Tana Sifro de Beirav, he learned the whole Torah's Koyanim, which is long halachas and difficult halachas, says Tosfos, like an Ari, like a lion. It's so hard. It's Chomor Shebesforim, and it's Besoich HaBoir. It's inside, it's in the middle. Vayikra is in the middle. The Torah's Koyanim is on Vayikra, and it's in the middle of all the Chumoshim, in the middle of all the Sforim. And he learned the whole Torah's Koyanim, B'yoyma de Sisva, in one day, but not stam one day, in the one day in the winter where the days are very short. And that was his major achievement, that in one day he managed to learn the whole Torah's Kehanim. So that's what the Pasuk means when it says in the Pasuk, Ki ha-chayim yoidim sheyomusu, it says referring to tzadikim. Tzadikim are called chayim, like we saw here, Benayo ben Yehoyada ben Ishchai. He was somebody who was a big tzaddik, as we saw, who even after he died, he still called a chai. The next words in the pasuk, which is the words that Rabbi Yonason first brought as proof that the meisim don't know anything, the meisim einom yoidim u'uma, it doesn't mean the dead people don't know anything. No. Elu rashoim. It's talking about live people who are considered dead. Who are they? The rashoim. Shebechaye and kruin meisim, even when they're alive, they're considered meisim. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, v'ato and yutzit kiyo cholol Rasha, you're like the corpse, a wicked corpse. And even though he was referring to Tzidkiyahu, who was still alive, and nonetheless he called him a corpse. Why did he call him a corpse? Because he was a Rasha, Nasi Israel, and he was a Nasi at the time of in Yisrael. Or from a different pasuk where you see that somebody who's alive has the title of being dead because he's a Rasha, the pasuk says, Al Pishnaim Eidim, or Al Pishleisha Eidim, with either two or three witnesses, Yumos Hames. He's Chayiv Misa. It doesn't say he's going to be put to death. It means Yumos Hames. The dead one will be put to death. Yes, because he was dead even before he was put to death. El Chayhu, he's still alive. Elo Hames Mehikora, he's now alive, and even before he's put to death, he's already considered dead, because he's a Rasha. That Rasha is put to death physically. We kill him if there's two witnesses that give Eidos that he's Chayiv Misa. So far in this Sugya, we have Rabbi Yonasan, who maintains that the Mesim don't know anything, from the Pasuk of Amesim Einam Yodim Uma, and we had Rabbi Chia, who he held that this Pasuk is not a Makoir, this Pasuk is talking about live people, called Roshoim, called Mesim, and not talking about Mesim literally. And Rabbi Chia obviously held that the Mesim do have some consciousness, and that's why he said, lift up your tzitzis, because the Mesim are going to be aware that you're dragging your tzitzis over the Kvarim, and they're going to say that you're being mecharef them, you're mocking them. Let's see the Sugya Vaita. Bnei Rabbi Chia, the two sons of Rabbi Chia, and Rashi says in Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Vav that they are Yehuda and Chizkia, the sons of Rabbi Chia. Nofuk Likriyasa, they went out to the villages and they were busy doing their work. They were working in the fields. Ayakir lu Talmudayu, and they forgot some of their learning. Have a komitzairi, they took great pains la'at kure to try and remember what they had forgotten. Omali chad l'chavrei, one said to the other, Yoda avun b'hai tzara, do you think our father, Reb Chia, is aware of the pains that we're taking to remember our learning? Omale idoch, the other brother says, Mino yoda, how should he know? Voksiv, does it not say in the pasuk, Yechabdu bonov, even when children receive an honor, it's possible, v'lo yoda, that the deceased parents will not know about it. They bring here on the side in another Ksav Yad that the Gemara carries on, v'yitzaru v'lo yovin lomoy, that the children can be in pain and the parents will not even know about it. It's the hemshech of that same pasuk. Omala yidoch, the other brother says, v'lo yoda, can it be they have no consciousness whatsoever of what's going on in the physical world? V'oksiv, it says in the pasuk, ach besoroi olov yichov, what's going on with his flesh after he dies causes him pain, v'nafshei olov tevol, and his spirit mourns over him. V'omer b'yitzchok, kosha rima lemeis, the worms are painful for a dead person, k'machat b'bosar chai, like a needle that pains the flesh of a living person. Omri, so the other brother answered, b'tzara didhu yoda, the pain that comes from their own bodies that are now dead, but that pain they are consciously aware of. B'tzara d'achrin, about the pain that other people are going through, lo yodi, that they don't know. Asks the Gemara v'loi, they have no other consciousness of what's going on outside of their own bodies. V'otanya, did we not learn in a brisa? Ma'isa b'chosid echod, there was a chosid. And in Baba Kama Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, it seems that this is either Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. K'shenosan dinner la'oni, he gave a coin to a poor person, be'er Rosh Hashanah, he's giving tzedakah. Be'er Rosh Hashanah, b'shnei b'tzeres, in a year that was a famine, ve'iknitoso ishtoi, and his wife started provoking him. V'holach v'lon be'beis ha'kvoros, he went and he stayed in a beis ha'kvoros. It's not clear here whether this story actually happened like this or whether it was a dream in the Marsha, in the Tzlach, and other Mephoroshim. They say that some of this, if not the whole story, happened in a dream. But either way, he went to the Beis HaKvaros. And he heard two spirits talking to each other. And these were the spirits of young children, young girls that passed away. One of the spirits said to the other one, Chaverti, my friend, boi venoshut ba'olam, let's go and roam around in the world. Venishma mechiria paragoid, and then we'll get somehow close to the curtain between the Shechina and the other Malochim and the other Koichos in Shemaim, and we'll hear in Ma'apur Onyos which misfortunes Baal Olam. It's Rosh Hashanah today. Everything's being judged today, tonight, and let's see what's going on. Omro lo chaverta, a friend said to her, Eini yecholo, I cannot leave the vicinity of the kever here. Shani kvura b'machatzeles shel konim, because I'm buried not in regular tachrichim, I'm buried in a mat made of reeds, and since I'm buried like this, my spirit cannot leave me. And the Mefarshim say that the spirit can only leave the kever after the body is totally decomposed, and that's why we use cotton or very, very weak tachrichim that don't stop the body from decomposing. Over here, that the body was wrapped in the reeds, it took much longer for the body to decompose, and therefore the spirit could not leave the kever. Elo lechiat, you go and roam the world, umashat shomas, and when you hear, whatever you hear, from achiria paragoid, omrili, come and back and report it to me. Holchohi, she went, v'shota, and she roamed the world, ubo v'omrolo chaverto, and her friend said, chavirti, my friend, ma shomas, what did you hear, achiria paragoid, behind the curtain? Omrolo, she said, shomati, shekola zoirea, anyone who plants, during the first of the three times in the year that it rains, and Rashi brings down that it typically rains three times in the winter. It rains from the 17th of Cheshvan, and then from the 23rd of Cheshvan, and then again on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So she heard that anyone that's going to plant in the first rain, Borod Malke Oisoi, hail is going to destroy whatever was planted then. Holachu, so this chassid went, Bezora Beravia Shnia, he made sure to plant in the second time it rains, not the first time. Shalkol Olam, all the things that the rest of the world planted, Shalkol Olam Kulo Iloko, it got destroyed by the hail. Shaloi, but his Lo Iloko, because he planted in the second time of the rain. Lashon Acheres, the next year, this chassid again wanted to know, let's hear what's going to happen this year. And he could act accordingly. Holach v'lon b'beis akvaros, he went again to the stage in the beis akvaros. V'shoma oison shtei ruchois, the same two ruchois were again shemesaprei zuim zu, were talking to each other. Omro chodu lechaverto, one said to the other one, boi v'noshud boilom, let's roam the world, v'nishma mechiri aparagoid, let's hear from mechiri aparagoid, ma puronus bol oilom, what misfortune is going to happen in the world this year? Omro lo chaverti, a friend said, loikach omarati lecho, I already told you last year, I cannot come with you, because I am buried in a mat of reeds. And according to how we explained it before, it seems that a whole year later, her body had still not yet finished decomposing. You go, and what you hear, boi v'omrili, come back and report to me. Holcho, she went v'shota, and she roamed the world, v'o v'omrilo, chaverti, ma shomas. When she came back, a friend said to her, my friend, what did you hear? Mechiria paragid. Omrullah, she said, she responded, Shomati, this year heard, Shekola Zerea Beravia Shnia, anyone who's going to plant in the second rain, Shidofoin, the dry winds, Malka Isa, are going to destroy it all. Holach, so this chosid went, Vazora Beravia Rishoina, and he planted in the first rain. The rest of the world, obviously, did not want to plant in the first rain, because the previous year all got ruined, so they planted in the second rain. Shalkolo ilam kuloi nishtaf, from everything that was planted by the rest of the world got destroyed by those winds. Shaloi loi nishtaf, but his did not get destroyed, because he planted it in the first rain. Omro lo ishtoi, his wife asked him, Mipnei ma ishtakid, why last year, shalkolo ilam kuloi loko, v'shalkolo iloko? The whole world's tvur got ruined and yours not. V'achshav, and this year, shalkol oilam kuloi nishtaf, shalkol oi nishtaf. The winds, the dry winds, destroyed everybody else's tvur, not yours. Sochlo kol advarim alolu. So he reported, he told his wife everything that had transpired. Omru, and people were saying that loyhoyu yomim mu'otim, it didn't take long, atche noflo k'toto bein ishtoi shel oisei chosid ubein imo shel oisei riva. A fight broke out between this wife of this chosid and the mother of that poor girl that was buried in that mat of reeds. And the reason that she was buried in that mat of reeds was because they were very poor, they could not afford tachrichim. So now a fight broke out, and the wife of this chosid said to this mother, Omro lo, l'chi ve'erich bitoch she'kvura b'machtzeles shel konim. See, I can even show you that I know that your daughter was buried in a mat of reeds, trying to, I don't know, to ridicule her or to hurt her, to tell her, I know that you're very poor, you couldn't even afford to bury your daughter in regular tachrichim. L'shono acheres, the next year, the third year, holach v'lon b'beis hakvoros, this chosid again went and stayed in the beis hakvoros, v'shoma oison ruchos mesapre zuim zu, and again he heard these two spirits speaking to each other. Omro lo chavirati boi v'noshut boilom v'nishma me'achiri aparagud ma'peronis bol oilom, let's go and hear what's going to happen this year, what misfortune is going to befall the people this year. Omro lo chavirati, the friend this year responded, hanicheni, leave me alone, dvorim shebeini lebeineich, the words of our discussions, kvanishmu beinachaim, it's already been reported, the people already know what's been going on. Alma, so you see from this whole story, Yoda, the very fact that she knew, that this little girl knew that what's been going on between them became known, people started talking about it, means that even though they'd already been nifta, they had a consciousness of what was going on. That the chosid's wife knew about the story and had reported to the mother of this girl, Alma Yodi. So we see that they do have a consciousness of what's going on in this world beyond and outside of the pain of their own bodies. Says the Gemara, no. Dilma inish achrina shochiv v'ozil v'omalu. It could be they don't have any consciousness of their own of what's going on, but besides so being consciously aware of their own pain coming from their own bodies, they are also aware of what's going on condition that it's been reported to them by people who had passed away. They don't see it from this world. They hear the information from people that join them. And it could be that in between the second and third year, somebody had passed away and told these spirits what had happened. And that's how they knew. Toshima. We're continuing to bring further proof as to how far the consciousness of the people that passed away are and have of what's going on in this world. Ziri have a mafkid zuzei gaba ush bezichte. Ziri entrusted some coins with a landlord. Ad de osi v'ozi lebeirav, and in the meantime he went to learn Torah in the yeshiva. And Shchiva, whilst he was there, this landlord died. Ozal basro lechotzar moves. The Ziri then came to this landlord to Hakever in the Beis HaKvaros called Chatzar Moves, the yard of the dead. Omer lo, zuzi heicha. And he said to her, where are the coins? Omro lo, she said, zil go shoklinu and take them mitusei from underneath tzinoira d'dasha, the pivot of the door. Beduch plan, in X place, in a place somewhere. Ve'eime lo le'ima, and tell my mother to shadir li masrokoi, she should send me my comb, v'guvtoi, and the tube, the kuchla, of my cosmetic paint, behada planisa, together with Mrs. whoever it is, whoever her name was, da'asya le'mochor, who's coming to join us tomorrow. And she obviously didn't need a comb, and she didn't need her cosmetics. She was just pointing out to her mother the sadness that she's feeling at the fact that she had died young. Alma, Yodi, from the very fact that she said, send it with Mrs. Ploinis, and I know that she's coming to join us tomorrow, she's going to die tomorrow, it means that the Niftorim know what's going on in the world. Alma, Yodi, says the Gemara, no. Dilma Duma, maybe the Malach called Duma, Kodim Umachriz Luhu. He announced already, before a person is nifta, this Malach announces, within a short amount of time, this and this person is going to come and join us because it's his time to die. So it's not as if they have a consciousness of what's going on in the world, who's alive, who's dead, who's supposed to be alive, who's supposed to be dead. They don't have any consciousness. But if in the world of the spirits, this malach announces that this person is going to die, then they have that knowledge. Toshima, the Gemara is now bringing another raya about the consciousness that the Niftorim have of what's going on in this world. Da'avuah de Shmuel hava komafke de gabei zuzer de yasma. Somebody entrusted with the father of Shmuel coins that belonged to orphans. Kinoch nafshei, when this father of Shmuel passed away, lo hava Shmuel gabei, Shmuel happened not to be with him at the time, and therefore nobody knew where this money was. Hava kokori le, and people used to call Shmuel, used to nickname him, Bar, you're the son of Ochil Zuzu Diasma, of the one that consumed the coins of the orphans. Ozal Abasre Lechatzar Moves, Shmuel went to the Beis HaKvoros, to where his father was, and we know that Shmuel was a Kohen, and there's a discussion here, the Vilna Gaon discusses how he could go to the Beis HaKvoros if he was a Kohen. Omar Luhu Boina, and he said there in the Beis HaKvoros, Boina Abba, Shmuel's father was called Abba, he says, I want to speak to Abba. Omrulei, they said to him, Abba Tuva Ika Hocha, there's a lot of Abbas buried here. Omar Luhu Boina Abba Bar Abba, my grandfather was also called Abba, I want to speak to Abba Bar Abba. Omrulei, Abba Bar Abba Nami Tuva Ika Hocha, there are many people here that are called Abba, the son of Abba. Omar Luhu Boina Abba Bar Abba Avua de Shmuel Heicha, I'm looking for Abba Bar Abba, who's my father of Shmuel. How many, you don't have any more Abba Bar Abbas who have a son called Shmuel. Omrulei Solik Lemasifta Derakia. He's gone up to the yeshiva of Shalmaila. Adahochi in the meantime, Chazya Lelevi, Shmuel saw his friend Levi, the Yosef Avroi, he was sitting outside the circle of all the other neshamas. Omrulei and Shmuel said to his friend Levi, to his neshama, Amai Yosef Avroi, why are you sitting outside the circle? My tamaloi sulkas, why are you not going in and being with everybody? O malay, the omrali, the reason is because they told me as follows, kol kihanoch shoni, all those years, the loy salikas, that you didn't go into the masifta de Reb office, into the yeshiva, into the shir of Reb office, the ichlishte daite, and that caused him a chalisha sadas, you were not going to his shia. And therefore, lo yimaylinon nechol masifta derakia, and therefore we're not letting you join the rest of the yeshiva shel maila. Adahochi va'ocha osa avua. In the meantime, Shmuel's father came to Shmuel. Chazya dehava kabochi va'ochich. Shmuel saw that his father was also crying and also laughing. Omar lei ma'itam kabochisa. Shmuel asked his father, "Why are you crying?" Omar lei de la ogol. Kaosis, you're going to come here very soon. My tama achichas, so why are you laughing? De chashivas bahai alma, you're very respected and you're held in high regard in this world. Tuva, very high regard. The question is, what does high alma mean? Rashi learns that high alma means in oilam hazeh, in this world. We'll soon see, but it seems in Toisus that Toisus means high alma, that in the next world Shmuel was held in high regard. Omer li, icha shivna, if I'm held in such high regard, na'ilua lelevi, then I'm requesting that they should allow Levi to go into the yeshiva shalmaila. Va'ilua lelevi, they listened to him, they gave him what he requested, and Levi was sent to the yeshiva shalmaila. Omer li, now Shmuel asked his father, zuzid yas mehecha, where are the coins of these orphans? Omar lei, zil shoklinu, go and take them b'amsa derechayim, in the area, in the room where the stones of the mill are kept. Eloi, the money at the top of the pile, v'tatoi, and the money at the bottom of the pile, didon is ours. Umitzi, the money in the middle of the pile, or the coins in the middle of the pile, diyasmi, they belong to the orphans. Omar lei, Shmuel asked his father, my tama of the sachi, why did you do it that way? Omar Ali said like this, Iganuve Gonvi, if robbers and thieves are going to come and steal the money, or the coins, they're going to take the coins at the top of the pile. Mignavu Mididon, so they'll steal our money and not the coins of the orphans. I Ochla Ara, if being close to the ground and the elements are going to cause the coins to get destroyed, Ochlemididon, it will be our coins that get destroyed and not the coins of the orphans. Alma, the end of the story, what do we see? That even though Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, was already Nifta, he knew what was going on. So Rashi says, since he said that Shmuel was Choshev in Olam Hazeh, it seems that his father knew what's going on in Olam Hazeh. Tosfos says that it's talking that from the fact that the father of Shmuel knew that Shmuel was about to be Nifta, and it wasn't just going to happen the next day like we saw before, that just before a person is Nifta, there's a baskel that says that announces that a person's going to be Nifta. It was too long before that. And nonetheless, Avua de Shmuel knew that Shmuel was held in high regard in Olam Haba. That shows that they have a consciousness of what's going on regarding the people who are alive in this world. And this is contrary to what Rabbi Yonasan said before, that they don't know anything beyond their own pain. Dilma Shani Shmuel Kiven Dechoshiv Kodmi Umachrzi Panu Mokim. Since he was Choshev, either in this world or the next world, but because he was Choshev, maybe the announcement went out much earlier to announcing that he's coming and you should come and greet him and make space for him, and therefore he knew what was going on from that announcement, but not because of a conscious awareness of what's happening to the people who are alive. Continues the Gemara. V'af Rabbi Yonasan, even Rabbi Yonasan, who lekatchila said lo yodim umo, they don't know anything, and even he said hodar bei, he retracted from his original opinion. The Omar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omar Rabbi Yonasan, minayin lemesim shemesaprim zeim ze. How do we know that the spirits talk to each other? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, vayoyimer Hashem eilov. Before Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Hashem said to Moshe as follows: Zoi Saoretz, this is the land Eretz Yisrael, Asher Nishbati, which I promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Leimor, asks the Gemara, my Leimor, why did Hashem tell Moshe, this is the land that I promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Leimor, say what? Say who? Says the Gemara, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu leMoshe. Hashem told Moshe, Leich emor lohem, go and tell the others, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, go and report to them that Shvua Shenishbati Lochem, that the promise Hashem made to them, that He was going to give Klal Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, Kvar Kiyamtio Livnechem, it's already started happening that Eretz Yisrael, they are now going into Eretz Yisrael. V'Yisalk, and this was said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan. V'Yisalk Kedai Techlo Yodi, if the people who are not alive anymore have no consciousness whatsoever, of besides for what's going on in their own bodies, there's no consciousness of what's going on in this world. Ki omer luhu mayhava, what's Moshe going to tell them about what's happening in this world, that the Klal Yisrael going into Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to mean anything to them. Elomai diyodi. So elomai, they do know what's going on. They do have a consciousness with what's going on in this world. If so, asks the Gemara, if they do have a consciousness, why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to go and tell them? They know already. Hashem wanted that the others should acknowledge to Moshe an appreciation they had for everything Moshe had done to Klal Yisrael, to bring them till the stage of going into Eretz Yisrael. So you see clearly that even Rabbi Yonasan understood and realized that they do have some consciousness of what's going on in this world. And in our next share, we're going to start the next sugya.